I started with a familiar scripture to many of you. What I want to do is I kind of set that into a context of really all that was being said, not just what we quote. We are a church, the general church of Jesus Christ, very apt to take individual scriptures and quote them and memorize them and quote them and use them as an uplift that we all need. But sometimes we need to do more than look at just what is said, but read it in context. Context means that you are taking a text out of the content that is before and after a particular verse. And what it does is it helps give meaning and balance to what is being said. You know, as I've said this many times before, but there are a number of times Jesus in the Gospels said, after giving a teaching, would say, go and do likewise. Remember that phrase? Go and do likewise. And of course, if you don't read things in context, you can take the scripture that Judas went out and hanged himself, and Jesus says, go ye and do likewise. That's just a joke. Yes, moving right along here. So as I was looking at this a few weeks ago, preparing for what we started 2 weeks ago, was that the scripture in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And from this we said that God's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. And in the process of carrying out his plan, when he says he will give you an expected end, it literally means in the Hebrew, he'll take a rope and tie it around you and pull you ahead. Catch up with what he wants for you. Because God's got a lot of good things in store for his kids. A lot of things. A lot of good things. I don't know if you know this or not, but God's a good God, the devil's a bad devil. And Jesus said, the thief comes for the purpose of doing what? Killing, stealing, and destroying. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it in an abundance. So God's a giver, the devil's a taker. So it's pretty simple. It's really black and white, if you will. You don't have to really stress your brain out to know that if what you're going through is taking from you, stealing from you, destroying in your life, that's not God, that's the devil. But if God is giving to you, he'll let you know that it's coming from him. Now, in this scripture then, what I wanted to say was that this was a letter that was written to Israel when they were in captivity, primarily Judah, actually. But it applied to the whole nation, not just Judah. And Jeremiah was saying that you made some bad choices, and now you're in a mess, but God's got a plan. He's going to pull you out of this mess. And then in verse 12, he says, verse 10, he says, you're going to be here for 70 years. He says, but I'm going to visit you. I'm going to perform my good works towards you and cause you to return to this place. Then in verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, says the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you again to this place once I cause you to be carried away captive. Now, if you look at this from my perspective, and of course, you all know that I'm right, that what he said was that when you return to the land, he says, I want you to seek me. And the word seek in the Hebrew means to worship. So here's what we do. We go to the Christian bookstore, find a book on all the good things God's going to bring into our lives because he's got a plan for us. I've read a couple of those books, so I know that they're there. But what we fail to do is realize is that we have a part to play in this. It's not just all God. God says he's got a plan. His plan was to bring them back to the place of prosperity and blessing. That was God's part. Our part is to worship him. That's our part. Sometimes we forget our part. Sometimes we forget the part that we play in the goodness that God wants to bring into our life. Because we are very adept at being receivers in our culture and, of course, in the church. I want, I want, I want, I want. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And we constantly think about, I'm going to get mine. I'm God's special child. He loves me. God wants to give me all kinds of good stuff. And God does want to bless you. There's no doubt about that. That's not bad theology. It's just it's only partial. The other part is how do we respond? We have a responsibility to cultivate the presence of God. We have a responsibility to do that. Now, you can choose to worship him and to search with him, search for him with your whole heart. I mean, that means the totality of your life. Now, the way I interpret that is that if I'm going to search for him with my whole heart, with all of my being, then that means in every part of my life, I'm going to try to find some way to connect with God. You see, this is just one small facet of our lives, what we're doing here today. But our lives involve our employment. Our lives involve our relationships with our spouse, our children, our parents. Our life involves our connection we make with non-believers. Our life is connected with just a wide variety of things. So when you search for him with your whole heart, all of your being, you're wanting to find him present in every part of your life, not just here on Sunday mornings. I love where he says, I will give you an expected end. I explained to you that that's a word which literally means the rope. It means a rope. It's used to describe the scarlet robe, rope that hung out of Rahab's house when the children of Israel went in to take the land. And everybody that was found in Rahab's house was saved from destruction. So God says, literally, what he will do is if you're dragging your feet, he'll put a rope around you and pull you ahead. Because he wants to bless you. But he wants to bless you with his plan, not just things. You know that things can't save you. Things can't really fulfill your life. Things can't really satisfy the inner core desire we have for fulfillment and satisfaction. Only one who can do that is our relationship with God. For you men that are married, if you think that the real value of your wife is to provide food for you on when you come home from work or from other activity, if that's the only thing she gives you, that doesn't really help you a whole lot. Because you eat, what, in a half hour? What do you do for the rest of the day? Oh, you got two more meals. All the wives are nudging their husbands. So talking about cultivating the presence of the Lord. We went to Genesis chapter 3. And I made a made some statements about this particular moment when Adam and Eve had sinned. And again, I'm talking about us pursuing the presence of the Lord, not just getting, not just receiving, but running after God. Now, the real, the neat thing in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, scripture is awesome. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, it's not a matter of just seeking the kingdom of God so we go to heaven. It's seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness to walk right before you get there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that Gentiles seek for will be added to you. And He adds them to you. You don't have to run out and kill yourself trying to get them. Now, here in Genesis, after God dealt with Adam and Eve, and He drove them from the garden, in order to keep them from eating the tree of life that before they had access to, now they didn't, says that He drove out the man and He placed in the east of garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He had to protect them from partaking of the tree of life in a sinful condition, because if they took the tree of life, they would live forever as a sinner. And redemption would not have been a reality to them. So what He did was, He drove out the man and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Now that's just really a weak translation. Literally, it should say this. He drove out the man and then He positioned His presence and a cherubim to guard the tree of life. We get our word Shekinah glory from this word. We all know what the word Shekinah, well, many of us know what the word Shekinah glory means. It's the remember the cloud that rested upon the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle? That was the glory of God. That was called the Shekinah glory of God. It was literally the manifest presence of God in the earth. That's how God manifested Himself. Now, we know God's all over, because the word says that God is everywhere. But also God, if you will, focuses on a specific manifestation called His presence. When Jesus came, He was the presence of God manifested in human form. But in the tabernacle, the presence of God was in the tabernacle, in the most holy place. Here, He placed the presence of God as a protection that before you could get to the presence of God, you had to deal with the sword. And if you dealt with the sword and dealt with the presence of God, you had access to the tree of life. Now, I believe today for us in the church of Jesus Christ, we have the same problem, the same challenge. We are people that have been born into a sinful Adam's race. And in order for us to have access to the presence of God, we have to do some things. We have to. The Bible does not say that God saves people because He wants them to get saved. God saves people because He reveals to them their need for salvation. Puts in their spirit the faith to believe for salvation. Then He declares in Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, when a person gets born again, who does the speaking? We do. Isn't that profound? Who does the believing? We do. So we confess, not our sins, but we confess that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In our confessing Him as Lord, we do so because we know we're sinners. And we need to be born again. But it's not confessing our sins that gets us saved. It's confessing Jesus as Lord is what gets us saved. In the process, we know we are sinners that need to be saved because of our sin, but it's confessing Jesus as Lord that gives you, imparts to us, the gift of eternal life. Now, having said that then, I'm believing that this is a picture of us, if we want to experience the tree of life, we've got to pursue Him. We go to the Word. The Word gives us instruction. The Word gives revelation to us. We understand our need for salvation. So if you will, the sword of the Spirit penetrates our heart and reveals to us our need to be born again. Remember, this is not the sword of the Spirit. This is the Logos, the written Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. When there's a revelation truth that touches us and all of a sudden penetrates our heart, all of a sudden we know that we know that we know that we're sinners, and we know that we know that we know that we need to be born again. What's happened? The sword of the Spirit has penetrated your heart and revealed to you a truth that you didn't really know before that. Just because someone tells you you need to be born again is not enough to get you born again. You have to have a revelation of that truth in your own heart. See, there's a lot of people that sit in churches week in and week out that don't even know Jesus as a personal Savior. They know the church is a personal Savior. They join the church, they jump through all the hoops, but that doesn't mean that they're born again. Only way a person can really be born again is when the Holy Spirit penetrates their heart with the sword of the Spirit. Paul made that distinction in his letter to Ephesus. He said that the Word of God is this, the sword of the Spirit is the Word or the Rhema of God. And when the sword of the Spirit goes forth, it produces revelation down in our heart. So when someone says to you, you need to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, you need to be born again. Just because you say words does not mean that they're going to have a revelation in their heart. The Holy Spirit has to take those words and penetrate their heart. When the Holy Spirit penetrates their hearts, then the words you have spoken become the sword of the Spirit. Before that, the words you spoke are the written Word of God. You're quoting the Bible. But when the Word of God penetrates, you see, this is the problem we have with everybody that doesn't know God. We talk to people about God, and we expect them to respond, and they don't respond, and so we get a little frustrated about it. I can promise you, I know a little bit about frustration. I've been doing this for 46 and a half years. I've preached a lot of sermons over the years that I've walked away out of the pulpit frustrated because I wanted the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to everybody. But you see, that doesn't happen every time because I'm not the Holy Spirit. My wife is. So what I'm saying to you is once you've spoken the Word, known the Word, then trust that the Holy Spirit at some point in time is going to penetrate your heart with that Word. So relax. If you've spoken the Word, God immediately is employed. God, it's just like when God spoke the Word at the very beginning. God said, let there be. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit hovered over the Word of God to bring about creation. You see, we think there has to be an immediate response to our words. But you know something? There's just not always an immediate response. But you can be sure the Holy Spirit is accompanying the word you spoke if it's based on scriptures. So rest in the fact, peaceful in the fact, that God's going to bring a harvest to the words that you've sown. Now, what I'm coming to here is this. And we read over in Proverbs 15, and this is just a really neat scripture, I think, but it speaks to us about Proverbs in the Old Testament, isn't it? Yeah. That's why I can't find it. I'm in Psalms. There we go. A wholesome tongue, or a tongue filled with healing, is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach or a brokenness in the spirit. And what I wanted to draw you to is the idea that we cultivate and create, if you will, an environment in which the Holy Spirit has absolute freedom to work in our lives by what comes out of our mouth. That's why praise and worship songs are so important. As a matter of fact, at the point of the worship, the songs of worship, that's the most important part of the service. Because that, if you will, creates an environment so when the preaching of the word goes forth, it's not just words people are hearing, but it's the sword of the Spirit penetrating people's hearts. That's why worship is so vital to the success of ministry. It's not just preaching doesn't do it. Preaching, if you will, is what God uses to cause the environment of, let me rephrase that. The preaching of the word is necessary because it works with the environment that the Holy Spirit has created in people's hearts to hear God's plan, whatever it may be. Now, what I want to leave with you this morning in closing, don't you just love those words? Go, turn to Psalm 100 if you can. What I've had in my mind over the last few weeks dealing with this particular series is reminding us of the importance of how that our verbal praise and worship is so important to finding entrance into the presence of God. That's why I told you last week, you need to make a pointed time during your day where you can put on some praise and worship and just worship the Lord in your home. Amen. If you wait to worship God when you get here at the place of celebration, your worship here will reflect how much you do it at home. I said, how intense and involved you are in worship here will reflect on how much you do it at home. Now you need to, every single day, you need to get a praise tape. Get alone just between you and God. Just get alone between you and God. Schedule time on your day. All right, I'm going to take about 15 minutes after lunch. I'm going to go in the back room, bedroom, upstairs, down somewhere in my home. I'm going to put on some praise and worship music, and I'm going to spend some time just worshiping God. What you do is you cultivate an environment for the presence of God to dwell in your home. Now, we know He's everywhere, but God wants to do more than just be everywhere. He wants to be focused and located in a manifest way somewhere in your life. And if that doesn't happen, it should. Amen. He says in Psalm 100, you all know this one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence. Come before His presence. Come before His presence. I thought He's everywhere. Well, He is, but He's also specifically located where people plan for Him to show up. Well, here's a good one. You know this. We quoted earlier in prayer time. Jesus says, if two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I where? In the midst. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You don't belong to the pastor. You belong to the shepherd. His name is Jesus. You don't go to Solomon's church. Hello? You are the church. You don't go to church. The church showed up here today. You are the church. And we're going to worship the Lord today. When we conclude the service, the church is going to leave. Look at somebody and say, you're the church. Go ahead. Look at it. You are the church. Then he says, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now when he says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, the Hebrew word there literally means to enter in with your hands up like this, expecting to receive something.
I don't believe in that stuff, brother. I just praise the Lord with my hands down. Go if you want to, but Paul said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands.
See, the minute you raise your hands to the Lord, they become holy. But also, it's a sign of surrender. What are they doing? What do they do in the old shoot 'em up Pete movies? They say, stick 'em up. What are they demanding? Submission. Submission to someone who has authority. When we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we're saying, Lord, I'm giving you thanks because of your goodness, but oh God, I'm surrendering my life to you. Then he says, and into his courts with praise. Now the word praise there is the Hebrew word tehillah praise. It's crazy praise. I would to God that every church in town enjoy crazy praise. Crazy praise means praise that doesn't submit itself to anybody's definition or explanation of appropriateness. I mean, as calm as we are, there's some places where they really do hang the chandeliers. Now, we haven't gone that far yet. I don't know that we won't, but anyway, we haven't gone that far yet. Betty's gone, so now it's Priscilla's job to hang the chandeliers. But the word tehillah praise literally means this. Is a combination of words, the last of which is the halal praise. Halal praise in the Hebrew was just doing all kinds of crazy stuff, all in honor of God. Remember when David danced before the ark? He was doing tehillah praise. His wife didn't like it. She got in trouble for it. Go to Psalm 149. Please. What I'm saying to us this morning is that God's got a plan for you. And his plan, he wants to carry that plan out. But you are a co-laborer together with him. You are part of the mix. You are part of the solution. God does his part, we do ours. God says, I'm going to initiate the plan. When I get you to the point to where you're free from the bondage, free from the attack of the enemy, free from whatever issue is putting a bind on your life, at that point, run after God. Worship him. Seek him. Pray to him. He says, he'll be found of you. He will be heard. He will hear your prayers. You see, what we do is we're walking along, I'm doing my little Christian thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Glory, 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 glory. All of a sudden, man, the devil slaps on me. Just drops a load on me. All of a sudden, I'm all bent out of shape. Oh, God, help me. I'm going to crash. So God comes down there and he lifts off the weight. As David says, he put me in a wide place. That's without stress. How many like to live without stress? Well, God says he's got a stress-less place for you. It's a wide place. So if you're under stress today, it's because the pressure is like this. You need to say, Lord, free me from the stress and get it open. Like, but you see, that's the manifestation of his answer. But that's not the end of the deal. After he manifests himself and literally sets you free, or heals your body, or takes care of your marriage, or brings money to your home, whatever issue may be, that's the sign. Says, thank you, Jesus. Now this is going to be the initiation of my running after you, because you are so awesome. What we do see is we get delivered. Whoa, man, that was a tough one. Oh, okay. So, hello, glory, glory. How you doing? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Prayer closet. Somebody needs to get, you guys need to go over there and do some praying. You need to go in there and pray. Compared to all the amount of time we talk, there's not a whole lot of it goes directly to God. And then sometimes when we do talk to God, we spend more time giving him advice than asking him for help. Good preacher, pastor. 149 says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Some people, I tell you what, when they worship God, it's like they've been baptized in pickle juice. Man, there's nothing happy about their praise. When they go to God, it's like they're going to a funeral. Let them praise his name in the dance. Whoa. Are we supposed to do that in church? That's what he says. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That means your place of leisure at home. Let it be a time of praise and worship. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Let me say this about that passage. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. The word high praises is feminine in the gender of this word, which is a picture of giving birth. Your praise will give birth to whatever is in it. Your praise will serve as a reproductive way of giving birth and new life when death is ruled. And what it will do is it will bind the hand of the enemy that tried to bring trouble into your life. And he says to execute upon them the judgment written. What is the written judgment? This book. This is the written judgment. And God will execute his word on your behalf. But see, it's something you've got to do. You cultivate the environment of praise. You cultivate. You run to the presence of God. See, God's presence is all over the place. For Israel, God's presence was all over. But they still had to go into the holies of holies to, if you will, entertain the presence of God. It says that when Moses was on top of the mountain receiving the law, it says that he went into the tabernacle and the presence of God's cloud came down and covered the entryway going into it. Which is to say that God's presence was there, whether it was in the cloud or all over. But there was a direct moment when he made contact with the presence of God. Folks, there's a time in each of our lives when there's such an awesome heaviness of God's presence at a point in time in our life. God wants that to be normal. But we have one of those praise experiences where, whoa, man, I can't get over this. This is awesome. And that lasts us for about a year. Then we have another moment where we have one of those heavy moments where God's presence comes in and we just know that it's God. It's just not, it's not normal. It's super normal. We know that there's been a connection that I've made with God. And God says, I want that for you all the time. I look at the life of Christ, and he constantly was going, getting away from everybody else, going to pray, talking to the Father. Why did he need that? He needed that because he's walking in his human body. He needed to hear God's voice, the Father's voice. But he was hearing the Father's voice even when no one else was, because the Father was talking to him all the time. I do always those things that please my Father. But then there were times when the voice was sounded and people heard it. But there was always that commitment he had to running after the Father. If Jesus had to do it, we need to do it. But it's really up to us. Choice is up to us. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Let his plan be carried out in your life. But in the process of him carrying out his plan for you, he's got a plan for you to run after him. And if you're not doing it, shame on you. If you're waiting to run after God when you're here on Sundays, you're missing an awful lot of good time. You're wasting an awful lot of valuable time that God has given you. 168 hours in a week. Here's a good one for you. Do we believe in tithing? Well, sure we do. And how much is the tithe? 10%. So that means that the 10% of 168 is 16.8. Right at about close to 17 hours of tithe, of your time to the Lord. Oh boy, I don't know about that. I gotta watch the American Idol. I gotta watch my program as the stomach turns. I mean, as the world turns. You know what I mean. You're being awful. I know it. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you are Lord. Father, we thank you that you have unfolded in the Scripture what your plan is for our life. Your plan for our life, Father, is to know you as a personal Savior, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to have well bodies healed by the blood of Christ, by the sacrifice of his body. Your plan is, Lord, for us to experience relationships healed and made whole because we forgive. Your plan is, Lord God, for us to know your will and study the word. Your plan is, Lord God, for all kinds of good things to happen to us. Lord, we need to make a commitment today. Either a new commitment or a recommitment. To run after your presence, to ask you to be a part of our lives, not just the Sunday part, but part of our entire being. Lord, you're not going to take from us our personal life. You give us the privilege of living that. But Father, you want to be a part of the totality of our lives today. And Lord, we have a tendency to want to shield separate parts for ourselves only and open the rest maybe to you. But Lord, we need to have our hearts set in alignment with your word. We need to have our hearts, Lord God, made alive unto you in fresh new ways. We need to have a restoration, Father, of your goodness in each of our lives. And Father, we're saying today, we need you. We're saying today, Father God, that we need you. And Lord, we're starting out this moment of our service saying, Lord, we love you. We want you more than anything. Lord, we're willing to lay aside all the worldly distractions. Lay aside all the things that are tugging at us, trying to pull us this way and that. And just simply come down to one core issue. We need you, Father. We need you more than anything. And we want to initiate that fulfillment by coming to you this morning and saying, we love you. We need you. We want to have a positive, interactive relationship where when we talk to you, you hear us. And when you talk to us, we hear you. That, Father, it's not a matter of just waiting to hear a sermon on Sunday. But, Father, it's a matter of daily hearing your voice. Speak to us secret thoughts that we know come from you throughout the day, throughout the week. Lord, that's possible for every one of us. I pray that you would put a hunger in our hearts that says, Father, we want you more than anything. We want you more than relationships. We want you more than jobs. We want you more than money. We want you more than healing. We want you more than anything, Father. We want you because you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Father. Let's stand. Let's sing the last chorus we did for the worship this morning. I love you, Lord, and I live my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Oh, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many say, Pastor, I need to be a little bit closer to the Lord than I was a long time ago? I've just let some things slip in my life, kind of just dragged me away. I know I'm born again. I know I still love God. That hasn't changed. But there's just a lot of things that just filled my time. And it's just a real squeeze to get back to church attendance and reading the scripture and, of course, prayer. And I want God to change that. Sing this again. I want you to come forward. I want you to stand. And what I want you to do is, if you don't want to respond to this, that's fine. I love you anyway. But I want you to come forward. It's making a decision, Lord. I'm leaving the stuff behind. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus continually called people out of the crowd to stand alone. It was a way of saying, you're departing from those distractions and those things that have held you back. You're saying, God, it's just you and me. Just you and me. And I want us to come down and just want to stand and want to just have conclude with a worship moment. But it helps sometimes get you out of your pew, get you up here. Because if I get you up here, then sometimes we don't, you know, we're really protected. You don't know it. There's an invisible wall right here. You're all protected from me. As long as I let you stay back there, I won't get you. But you see, God knows where you're located. He knows how many feet it is between here and where you're at. He wants you to minimize the feet. You've heard the phrase, come on, get close to me. You've heard that phrase? Well, it's just a way of saying, Lord, I want to get close to you. Can we do that? As we sing it, let's come down this forward. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Oh, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's lift our hands and sing it again. Oh, Lord, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Oh, may it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, ribata la ba 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 ya de la ba ba ka ya se. Ibra shabando la ba ya ba ka. Principiando la ba 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 se. Ibra skele ba ya do. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Will you say this with me, Heavenly Father? I surrender all of my life. Not just the part that I want to keep. Not just the part that I consider private. But Lord, I give it all to you. Forgive me, Father, for becoming so selfish in such a way that I have kept myself to myself. Lord, I want to begin by loving people. I want to begin by touching people with your love. But Lord, it must first begin by me being touched by your love. So Lord, I surrender. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge my conscience, Father, from every dead work that I might serve you. Fill my life, O God, with a fresh desire to love you the way the Scriptures say I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing this one more time without the music. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear.
May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We need you, Lord, more than anything. We need you more than anything, Father. We surrender our hearts, Lord. We surrender our lives, Jesus. We surrender our relationships, Father God. We surrender our plans, O Lord. We surrender everything, Father, to you. We want you more than anything, Father. In Jesus' name. Will you join hands with one standing next to you? Say this with me, Father. I pray for this one on my left and my right, that your Holy Spirit will be poured into their lives in a fresh, new way. Fill them, Lord, afresh with your Holy Spirit. A healthy touch of your grace that draws us to you, Heavenly Father, and to you alone. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, Father. Fill us afresh with Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we say thank you today. We say thank you today, Father. We say thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for touching us today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a touch of your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for this not being just a time in which we sing songs and hear sermons, but, Lord, a time when we hear your voice speak to us personally. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, for every person that's in this place today, I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd give them a fresh touch of your presence like never before. May this not be just another day, but Lord, may this be a meeting point, a radical change, if you will, Father. A time when, Lord God, we're choosing to not fall prey to the stuff that has controlled our lives in the past. That it's a fresh new walk with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now take that person standing next to you and grab a hold of their neck and give them a great big hug.
She understands.